Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lisa Barkovic. Just as I'm talking to you, just getting our screen up here ready to share. But good to be with you all this afternoon. Just a quick background on myself. I used to work for former Congressman Mark Foley from 2000 through 2005 and been at Holland & Knight now for the past 17 years, advising municipalities and transportation authorities like the Palm Beach TPA on what is happening at the federal level. Lori, would you like to give a brief overview of yourself?
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm also a senior policy advisor at Holland & Knight, and I represent a number of transportation agencies like MPOs and municipalities and water agencies. Prior to joining Holland & Knight, I worked in the U.S. Senate for several Republican senators for over 10 years. And right before joining the firm, I was a staff director of the Highways Infrastructure Subcommittee on Senate EPW, and there I had the opportunity to work on several transportation authorization bills.
Thanks. So as Valerie led off in introducing us and what this presentation is about today, obviously President Biden signed into law the once in a generation historic bipartisan infrastructure law on November 15th. So we've had 3 months now of implementation efforts of the bipartisan infrastructure law, but of course there's lots of funding to still come. So we wanted to kind of take this time to share with you what we know about the legislation and help you think about strategically how to use this once in a generation lifetime federal investments to help you with your projects. So there's just to kind of give you some background information. This really started off as the reauthorization of the 5-year FAST Act, which is the Surface Transportation Reauthorization Bill, gets reauthorized every 5 to 6 years. Also included in this infrastructure law are other reauthorization bills for like drinking water and broadband. That's also included. We have $550 billion in new spending, with the majority of that money going to the U.S. Department of Transportation. Just to kind of give you some kind of quick snapshots, Secretary Buttigieg has over $120 billion in new discretionary grant programs that local governments, MPOs can apply for, and also nonprofit organizations for some programs. Some of them are not in DOT, but we'll go ahead and kind of talk this through. Some of the key other key points, we have funding for both discretionary competitive programs as well as formula. The focus is number one on safety, as you saw last month. Secretary Buttigieg rolled out a new national roadway safety plan. So safety, you'll hear from DOT, is their number one focus across everything. We have money for bridges, climate change, resiliency, project delivery, and equity, some new workforce provisions as well. For all of the existing DOT programs, you're going to see expanded eligibility. And keep in mind, as we talk about this, funding is not one time. This is a 5-year bill. So the funding for these programs will happen for the next 5 years. So if you don't have a project this year, you can always think about applying for next year. And the most matching requirements for these programs, and some of them are new, are 80-20%. Now, in some cases, you'll hear us talk about an overmatch. An overmatch is just to help you be a little bit more competitive with those discretionary grant programs so that you're demonstrating to the U.S. Department of Transportation that you have all of the money put together and you're ready to get this project done, and their dollars are going to be the last dollars in.
Next slide. So I'm first going to start about existing DOT formal programs that the TPA and FDOT are utilizing. As we'll see, there's significant increases over the current funding. The first program is a National Highway Performance Program. This money goes directly from DOT to FDOT and is used for roads and bridges on the national highway system. For example, interstates and just major arterial roads. The interesting thing that's going to definitely help the state of Florida is adds eligibilities for FDOT and state and locals to increase resiliency and help mitigate damage from sea level rise and extreme weather events, including hurricanes, of course. The next program is a highway safety improvement program. This is, goes directly to FDOT, and then FDOT sub-allocates it over to the TPA. And of course, the reason for this program is to reduce fatalities and major injuries. It can be used for educational campaigns. It's often used to educate kids in the schools. It can be used for traffic enforcement, and then also to build infrastructure to protect pedestrians and bicyclists from the cars. Next slide. And this program is what TPA uses for most all of its projects. It's the most flexible form of program that exists. It's called the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program, otherwise known as SDBG. And TPA, as you can see, uses it through its local initiatives program. It funds almost anything on the for highways, bridges, and transit. But interestingly, they also added electric vehicles charging infrastructure. And as you'll see, as we go through these programs, EV was definitely a priority for not only this administration, but for both Republicans and Democrats. And so for the first time ever, they're dedicated funding to EVs and also added eligibility for existing programs. Next slide. And then lastly, there's Transportation Alternatives Program that also goes directly to the TPA. The TPA uses this for smaller scale transportation projects, usually $5 million or under, and it can be used for ped bike projects, trails, and also to environmental mitigation, for example, protecting the infrastructure from stormwater. And what was very exciting for the TPA is it increases the amount of money that has to be sub-allocated to the TPA from 50 to 59%. Next slide.
So I'll go ahead and talk about the existing competitive grant programs. So the first one I want to talk about is the RAISE grant program, which is also formerly known as BUILD and TIGER. This was probably the most popular program I think TOT has because it can fund projects like ports, trails, rails, transit, you name it, there's a lot that is eligible for this program. So TPA and local governments are eligible. We actually have, the competition is open now. It opened at the end of January and applications are due to the U.S. Department of Transportation April 14th. So huge increase of funding for this program just based on the popularity that there is. Keep in mind that the notice that is open now is for the mandatory funding that was included in the bill. There is additional money that can be added to the overall amount that will be available subject to appropriations. So it is possible that when Congress completes the FY 2022 Omnibus Appropriations Bill within the next week and a half, we could see the amount of funding available for this open round of RAISE to increase. Some other things I just want to talk briefly about the RAISE program right now too. You'll notice in this notice of funding that is open now that it appears that planning grants are set to be a minimum of $5 million. That was a change for all projects that there would be a $5 million minimum. But we're hearing from Congress that they're looking to do away with the minimum planning ask for planning projects. So just kind of keep that in mind that over the next 2 weeks, if you have a planning project you're thinking about, but you would only need $2 million for, we could see a technical change made in the FY 2022 Omnibus Appropriations Bill.
And just one thing to add, Lisa, INFRA program, we're going to see a NOFO probably next week. FDOT has been successful for using this program on some of its major interstates, and a number of ports throughout the state have also been successful. But it also can be utilized for major highways and rail, too. Mm-hmm.
Next slide, please. So other new competitive grant programs, stopping threats on pedestrians. So think about this as some of your important downtown infrastructure that you might have, like your court buildings or police stations, city hall, county administration. This will help fund bollard installation projects to help prevent pedestrian injuries. And I'm also mentioning actual hard infrastructure, but think about it like you have busy promenades, right? Where you're trying to prevent cars from ever getting onto where pedestrians might be walking. So this is a new program, $25 million, but subject to appropriations. Safe Streets and Roads for All grant program. This is also commonly known as the Vision Zero grant program. We're going to see a notice of funding of availability open in May. The TPA and local governments are eligible to apply for this program, and it will help implement comprehensive safety plans and projects. Next slide.
So a couple other new competitive grant programs. The first is congestion relief. This is for areas that are at least $1 million in residents, and it's helped to pretty much do smart cities and helping for multimodal solutions and ITS as well to prevent, to help congestion relief. It's a pilot program, so it's only $250 million over 5 years. And the next one is known as a SMART program. The Secretary Buttigieg worked really closely with Congress to help create this. As a mayor, he was very interested in making South Bend a smart city. And so he wanted to make sure there's actually federal funding for this. And so anyone, the TPA or local governments can apply to do smart city, connect AVs, connected vehicles, and automation for this grant program. And it's $500 million over 5 years. Next slide. The next one is for culvert removal, replacement, and restoration. The Washington State Senators created this program to help remove, replace, or restore culverts that is causing flooding and to help with fish mitigation. And it's $1 billion over 5 years. And then lastly, this is the mega projects. It's also a priority for this administration as well. It's for really large, multimodal, multi-jurisdictional projects of national and regional significance, and a project has to be at least $100 million. This also will be coming out next week with the INFRA program.
And real quick on that mega program, I think what we're hearing from the U.S. Department of Transportation is that they will submit both, they will open up both the INFRA and the mega programs as one joint solicitation. So if you're not sure, like you have a project that fits both of them, you can submit one application and then they will figure out which pot of funding it will best belong in. So that is something kind of to look forward to, because I know with all of these new programs, it might feel overwhelming about the number of applications you might need to be submitting. But DOT is thinking about that and where they can do one solicitation that covers multiple programs, they are certainly thinking about that. So just kind of looking on to this slide, we have our other new programs here, Reconnecting Communities. This is gonna be $500 million over the next 5 years. And this is to either provide planning funding or construction dollars to help mitigate existing transportation projects that have created barriers to mobility, access, or economic development. So was there a road that went through a neighborhood in the 1950s that clearly cut off access from one part of the neighborhood to the next and maybe made that community more of a disadvantaged community? So this is what this grant program will be looking to help you with those types of projects. The other new program is the Railroad Crossing Elimination Competitive Grant Program, $3 billion over 5 years. And it's looking to fund projects that will help eliminate hazards at railway and highway crossings. Again, TPA and local governments eligible to apply. And we just talked about MEGA, but let's talk about the Healthy Streets program, $500 million over 5 years. This is looking at deploying cool pavements or porous pavements. So when you think about some of your areas that get constantly flooded and you're thinking about maybe doing some innovative pavement type of project, this is the program to look to. Also be providing funding for expanding tree cover.
Next slide.
Laura, do you wanna cover this?
Yes. The next one, this is called Active Transportation Infrastructure. Once again, a priority for the administration. Making sure those people who are pedestrians or bicyclists are safe, and also connecting communities with trails. And that's definitely needed in this region. And before you had the state and TPA had to spend its formula dollars. So it's a great opportunity to compete for this program. And it's $1 billion. Next slide. And bridges have always been a priority. And once again, very little money for bridge projects. And as you all know, it's super expensive. So previously you could only rely on FDOT or state DOT. There was no money for TPA and local governments to use. So this program was created for large grants. It's $100 million that is going to be allocated similar to transit, called a full funding grant agreement. So that means you submit an application, you will get the money over 5 years. The minimum grant for large projects is not less than $50 million. And this is given directly to FDOT. I apologize, please forgive me. There are two bridge programs. You can compete for this directly. And there's $16 billion for this program. I apologize. Next slide. This is the formula program that will go directly to FDOT. And you can see the percentages that is allocated. This money was given to FDOT in mid-January. And as you can see, they got $244 million. And this is a very popular program because the federal share is 100%. There's no local cost share. Next slide.
So we have some new resiliency programs, and I think the first one I want to talk about, PROTECT, which is stands for Promoting Resilient Operations for Transformative, Efficient, Cost-Saving Transportation. It's a mouthful. A grant program is going to be a program that I think most Floridians would be very interested in, because it is providing funding for new evacuation routes. It's looking at at-risk coastal infrastructure and resiliency. And so projects that you probably will think a lot about as being, you know, having some of your communities on the coast. It is going to be divided up into two pots of funding. So one is formula-based. Florida is estimated to get $364 million through the formula program. And then the other one is going to be a competitive program. So you'll have to compete for those discretionary dollars with other entities. So local governments, MPOs, states are all eligible to apply for that. And then last is the carbon reduction program. This is a new formula program that FDOT will allocate funding for. And right now we know that Florida is estimated to receive $320 million from the carbon reduction program.
Next slide. This is, as we just, I just discussed, they're brand new electric vehicle programs. The first one is called the Charging Refueling Grant Program at $2.5 billion over 5 years, which is a lot of money. This is both formula that FDOT will allocate and also a competitive program that TPA and local governments can compete for. As you'll see, it's 50% set aside each year for competitive grants, and they're prioritizing low and moderate income neighborhoods. One thing to note is that the EV or alternative fuel vehicle charging infrastructure has to be publicly accessible. So you cannot, for example, put these types of charging infrastructure in a city garage. Next slide. And this is the formula program. This money was allocated. There was a NOFO, and they told Florida how much they were going to get 2 weeks ago. And now it's up to the states to put together their program and submit it to USDOT. And they have until August to submit it. I encourage you now, if you're interested in deploying charging infrastructure within your city or region, start talking to FDOT now to make sure you're on that plan. Of course, if you're not included in their plan, you can compete directly under the previous program. Next slide.
So we can kind of go through these slides pretty quickly because we've actually have discussed these as we've gone through the programs, but this is just about the implementation actions to date. We know that a lot of folks are covering like how this is rolling out. You'll hear in tonight's State of the Union from President Biden a good overview and update about this. I mean, I just think some key things to take away is, for example, the former mayor of New Orleans, Mitch Landrieu, he's at the White House now acting as the infrastructure coordinator for all of the Biden-Harris administration on making sure that this is the legislation is getting implemented. We have some new joint offices that are being formed. So we have coordination between the different departments and interagency coordination, which is important. So if we can kind of fast forward through a couple of these.
I would say one note on the federal highway money, which I know everyone's anxious to get because it's such an increased amount of money over current funding. We're still working on appropriations bill, which Felicia is going to discuss in a minute. And once the appropriation bill passes, fingers crossed, in 2 weeks, the state FDOT, TPA, and then local governments should start getting your money.
Next slide. Again, we're just tracking. I know a lot of folks are interested in all of the money that went for electric vehicles. So there is, certain milestones that are out there that we are all kind of tracking in terms of how the EV money is rolling out for the various programs. Next slide. Again, that's on the formula. Next slide. Not to be left off the table here, but let's talk about transit. Transit actually is one of those, got one of the largest federal investments in the bipartisan infrastructure law that they ever have. So a lot of money is going to some of their existing programs like transit-oriented development, existing program, but that funding got increased. We now have close to $70 million over the next 5 years. Passenger ferry, an existing grant program, that money has also been increased. We have $150 million over the next 5 years. But we have some new programs like the electric or low emitting ferry program, $500 million, a rail car replacement program, $1.5 billion, and all station accessibility, close to $1.275 billion. We also have large increases for the low to no emissions bus grant program. So that notice actually will be coming out. The targeted timeline for that is next week. And then by the end of the month, we'll see another notice of funding for bus and bus facilities, all which have received significant boosts over their annual funding. So we tried to do a snapshot here of what the notices of funding availability when they're coming. So we've talked about RAISE, we talked about the EV charging formula. One program that we didn't talk about but did open is the Port Infrastructure Development Grant Program. This round of funding was actually not included in the bipartisan infrastructure law, but it is available. So we wanted to tell you that it's open. I mean, it will close on May 16th. A couple of things also that we wanted to let you know, that there is a website that the White House has rolled out, build.gov, write that down. They have on that website an infrastructure guidebook that is close to 500 pages long and will walk you through expected timeline, target timelines, whether it's first quarter, second quarter, about many of the programs that we just discussed and more. So we have only talked about transportation today, but if you're interested in the broadband, the cybersecurity, the other energy and drinking water programs, it's all in this guidebook. And so build.gov, I just want to, I sound like a commercial for it right now, but I do think that that is an excellent guide for you too, to help kind of track where the money is coming.
And just one thing to add, the White House administration has done a great job of giving timelines. They're estimated timelines, but they're sending them out every 2 weeks. And as soon as we get it, we share it with the TPA.
So obviously, Lori has mentioned this. I mentioned this briefly, but congressional outlook is important on how we see some of these programs rolling out, because we have a current continuing resolution that's keeping the government funded right now through March 11th. We're just waiting on that big omnibus appropriations package to get completed so that we know what those funding levels are. Once that bill gets done and signed into law by the president, you'll see for transit full year apportionments, you'll see all of your highway apportionments. We'll know what funding for the new programs got included at. and any other type of congressional guidance they wanted to write within the report language. So stay tuned on that. That will be, I think, the next big factor on how we see a lot of this money get distributed and roll out over the course of this year and of the next 4 years. And then also tonight, I mentioned this, a president is giving his State of the Union. Yes, a lot of focus will be on Ukraine, but he's also going to be focused on economic development initiatives, and he will be talking about implementation to date on the bipartisan infrastructure law and remind folks what that means. Last tidbit on this, part of the appropriations process, we used to call them earmarks back in the day. Now they're called community project funding requests. And then they are going to be due to your delegation sometime after the omnibus bill gets completed. So think of earmarks as, you know, a way to get some smaller projects that maybe you wouldn't typically be competitive with in a large discretionary grant program, but your member of Congress, who are your great advocates for you in Washington, can help you get some of that funding.
Now we're open for questions. I see there are a few in the chat, but I'll defer to Melissa.
Yes, thank you, Lisa and Lori, for that presentation. We do have a couple questions. The first one's an easy one. If you're able to share a PDF of the presentation after you're done, is that something that we can send out to the attendees?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So we'll make sure that that gets out to everyone. The next question is from Vice Mayor Chelsea Reed from the City of Palm Beach Gardens. She says, thank you for this excellent program. Am I correct in understanding that if a municipality or TPA/MPO applies for funding, which would be better served by a different program, then the application would be placed in the correct location for consideration?
Chelsea, do you mind just providing a couple more details and more context to make sure we're answering this question correctly?
While she's typing that out, she also asked, is there a percentage provided each year over the 5 years as the money's given out, i.e. is it the same amount every year?
So for the formula program, it is the same each year. I would say for like 95%. On some of the competitive grants, it does vary each year. And if you're interested, we could provide that. We knew we didn't have much time. So we just did the total over 5 years.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, I was just gonna say, for one example, and this is not one of the transportation programs, but there is a new cybersecurity program that it will be available for local governments. And it received $1 million. And the way they've divided that up is $200 million this year, $300 million next year, $400 million, and then it will, all the remaining funds will be for year five. So there are some anomalies like that, but in some cases, it is evenly divided over the 5 years.
And just while you're typing in other questions, this bill is very unique in that you have guaranteed money for 5 years for most of these programs. That way it's gonna make it a lot easier. If you're not ready this year, for example, to compete, you know you have 4 more years to compete. And also for this administration, it's very important to work with the region. They do prefer regional type of projects. And also, that just helps too, as you're lobbying your delegation, to make sure they're not receiving 4 or 5 projects. So they need to know if there's 1 or 2, it makes it a lot easier for them to lobby on the delegation.
Great, thank you. Vice Mayor Reed responded and she said, if we apply for a grant, but there's another one which is more appropriate, would we have to reapply or is it passed on to where it would be more appropriate? And just so you know, I did, Vice Mayor Reed, allow you to speak if you do want to unmute and ask a question verbally.
That does help though, Chelsea. Oh, sorry, Vice Mayor. That is a really good question. DOT has been talking about it. They know it takes so much money and time for a local government, especially regardless of the size, to fill out these grant applications and are so expensive. You often have to pay a consultant to write the grant or put together the benefit cost analysis. So for the upcoming NOFO for Mega Projects and Infra, since they're both for freight and goods movement, you can apply for whatever, for the whole program, and they actually will tell you which one they think better fits. But stay tuned on what we hear from DOT, because that is a really good question.
Yeah, and I just have, you know, a little bit more way to kind of strategize and think about this too. In another part of the country, we are working with a county and they have a planning project that they are excited to submit to DOT for the RAISE program. And this project goes through one of their very disadvantaged cities. And they have now made the decision locally to have that city be the main applicant, be the person to submit the application, because the it's such a disadvantaged city, which is, you know, a key criteria for how the administration is thinking about distributing funds in some cases, that they think that they'll be a much more competitive applicant than if it was the county that submitted. In other cases, Lori and I work with another city in another part of the country, and they were thinking about a project, but they didn't know if they had the resources as a city to put together an application. We suggest that they reach out to their local state DOT rep to ask them, you know, what do you think about this project? And the state DOT responded to them, oh, thank you for reaching out. We actually have been thinking about this project, and we'll take the lead and we'll submit it in conjunction with you because, you know, this is on the top of our list. So there are different ways you can kind of think about who is going to be the best applicant to submit the type of project you're thinking about, and who are your partners. DOT is excited to see a lot of people come together on one application and who the partners are on that.
And I see there's a nonprofit question. I actually just did a presentation to a nonprofit. I can, of course, share this with Melissa and Valerie to know if you need if a nonprofit is eligible. But just looking at another slide deck, reconnecting communities, a nonprofit can compete directly. And Healthy Streets Program, the one for tree canopy, or helping out with heat islands, nonprofits are also eligible. And then there are additional programs, like we talked about before, for broadband and water. And so there's additional opportunities for nonprofits to compete for those too. But if you have a question about a certain program, please share it with Valerie, Andrew, and Melissa. We can answer that question if the nonprofit is eligible or not.
Well, thank you. Next question we have is, can you please clarify the role of the TPA for these grant funds presented? Is the money and project prioritization going to primarily flow through the TPA planning process?
I think that could be Melissa or Valerie, if y'all could answer that or follow up with the attendee. I don't quite know the answer to that.
Okay, sure. And just thank you so much for the great presentation. I know there's a lot of information in various grants. In terms of the MPO's role, some of these grants are competitive throughout nationally, and they come through the state. For example, the electric vehicles, it has to go through the state, whether the state has a plan, and then we coordinate through the state at the MPOAC level, and then regionally. So what I will say is that we are the transportation planning agency. We're the coordinating transportation body for our county. So we would please reach out to us if you're interested in going after a grant. We definitely want to be aware of what grants folks are going after when it relates to transportation. And like I said, some of these come straight from the state, and straight from the federal government. So please let us know and let us know how we can help you, how we can coordinate, and also coordinate efforts regionally. So we recently met with Broward and Miami-Dade TPO talking about that, because sometimes some of these larger grants are the feds will look at a region and say, what is it that we want to give this region? So trying to coordinate those types of efforts, more regional projects. For example, we're talking with FDOT and FEC on a regional grant for going after a regional grant, with FDOT being the lead for rail safety improvements along the FEC and CSX track. So those are things we definitely want to be assistance. We want to be able to coordinate all these efforts and be able to help everyone as they're thinking through this. And again, as Lori and Lisa mentioned, if you are thinking about a grant or want a specific more information about a particular grant, please reach out to us. Lori and Lisa are here to help us. We have monthly calls with them to try to keep a pulse on everything, but I know there's a lot going on. So if you have a specific question, please reach out to us and we're happy to connect you with them and provide more information. I did want to note, in terms of we mentioned safety and Vision Zero, we're organizing a Vision Zero workshop probably in May, late April or May. And we'll also be talking about those grants, because our understanding is that now there'll be more funding for Vision Zero action plans for local municipalities to promote more safety, since that's a huge priority. So we'll be talking more in depth about that and how local municipalities can pursue those fundings.
Thank you, Valerie. Next question we have is there dedicated funding for potential earmarks or community project funding requests, or do MPOs run the risk of funding being pulled out of their respective area?
So I checked in, I got a question from a lot of people during the last round, especially because it's been 12 years since Congress has allowed earmarks. Lisa and I are hearing, yes, the Senate and House members are going to allow earmarks once again. We're even seeing forms being distributed publicly. Last year, this did not reduce the funding for the MPOs. Now, they still are sort of doing this on a trial basis. So that may change this year, but we would definitely monitor that for you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thank you.
Go ahead, Lisa. Anything else you wanted to add?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you're not going to run the risk of your money being pulled.
Okay. Next question is, are there programs where FDOT or the state need to complete a plan, such as a safety plan or PROTECT, before localities and MPOs can apply?
Yes, there are a couple. The congestion relief, this FDOT has to come up with a congestion relief program, and also making sure it aligns with the state reducing greenhouse gases and becoming an attainment with a Clean Air Act. So that is required before MPOs can apply. However, the state DOT is supposed to work with the MPO to put together these plans. The next one is the freight plan for the freight formula program that was created in the last surface transportation bill. And states are supposed to put together a freight plan 5 years ago, and then they're supposed to update it as well. And FDOT has done a pretty good job. They have one in place. I may be missing another. Oh, HSIP, it's existed for 15 years. And so the state also has to put together a safety plan that's meeting the data requirements from federal highways. There may be another one, but those are the three I could think of offhand.
So the last one that I'm thinking of, and it's not where FDOT will need to complete a plan, but if you are applying through the low to no emissions bus grant program for zero emission buses, you need to have to submit with your application a fleet transition plan. So that is something new. So if you're looking for zero emission buses, be prepared to submit in your application a fleet transition plan for zero emission buses.
And electric vehicles is another one. As we just discussed, for the formula funds, they have to put together a plan, and then that will allow TPA and local governments to apply. I'm just making sure. We can go to the next question. I'm just double checking.
That's okay. The next question is, why would the county still be interested in pursuing a potential transportation surtax with the availability of all these funds? So I think that could apply to any, you know, potential tax or surtax. How would you respond to that for really any government entity who is looking at something like that?
Yeah, I can't speak specifically what the county is planning on doing, but going back to one of my first slides that I talked about, where matching funds are going to be required for a lot of these programs. And, you know, most transportation programs require a 20% match, but there's also, in order to be extremely competitive in some of these discretionary grant programs, you're going to have to come up with an overmatch. And so I know I have a lot of clients that are eager to submit, but then they look at like what funding that they have available to provide as a match. And that part can be difficult for a lot of local governments. But Lori, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
We've also worked with clients who do have a tax as well, and you can utilize that tax as your local funding share for DOT.
And I'll chime in too. Some of these, the monies that are coming down are a lot of it's capital, but we need local operations dollars to be able to match some of the things that we're doing. It's also for a lot of, some of it's planning, but also it's shovel ready projects. So things that were already ready to go now or in the next 5 years. When we talk about potential funding for enhanced transit or other improvements over time in the long term, the TPA has a 25-year long-range transportation plan. We're looking at long-term funding and those matches that the federal government requires. And I know that Todd Von Laren is on the call too. I'm not sure if he would like to chime in from the county's perspective to answer that question as well.
Sure, Valerie. This is Todd Von Laren. Yeah, I think that, you know, when you look at the opportunities to be really flexible in regards to some of the bigger transit plans that we have in the future and have been working with on the TPA, although these funds, there's a lot of dollars available, they don't provide the utmost flexibility, particularly on some of those transit alternatives that we're looking at. And just like you and Lisa pointed out, if you don't have a dedicated local funding source to match some of these larger pots of dollars, you're just going to get washed out by the local governments that do have those and are pretty aggressive about their transportation models and opportunities. So that's just one of several reasons why, you know, that could be really important to us in the future. Thanks.
Great, thank you. The next question is, can you share a listing of low interest loans that could be used for a match? It says my understanding is that this was purposely put in place to help with a match.
There are not in transportation that I could think of. A lot of cities use their money from bonding. And like I said, also their surtax and the programs underwater, you can use that. There's a revolving state fund. So you can use those loans you're getting from the state as a local match for competitive grants. That's the only one I could think of right now they could utilize.
Okay, thank you. I do also just want to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question verbally, if you kind of have a lot to say and some backstory, please feel free to raise your hand and I'm happy to promote you to allow you to speak. I have a question in case anyone else is still typing at this time. Lori and Lisa, what would you say are some of the most common questions that you're getting from government entities or MPOs? And in those questions, what do you think could be some of the most helpful information that you could share with this group that's attending today?
One question, because priorities vary per administration, and this administration is focusing on equity, making sure funding is going to disadvantaged communities so they have access to transportation for schools, medical jobs, recreational, safe trails for bikes and pedestrians. And the second one is sustainability is a requirement, and then safety continues to be a requirement. So I've had several clients saying, this is our project we've been working on for the past few years. Should we change a location to a project instead in our communities and disadvantaged community? And normally I say yes. Or just, this is our project, how can we tell the story to meet the metrics and priorities of this administration? And then the last one, which we don't have the answer to right now, is everyone across the country is looking for a good grant writer. That's not something we do. We review the grant application to make sure it's meeting the metrics of the administration, and we can help a local government if their client lobby the administration, but we do not write grants. So that would be a great job for someone to have right now. You can make a bajillion dollars. But right now, there's some, we know, Lisa and I have a friend who does DOT, but every locality is asking that same question. Mm-hmm. Oh, one more. Also, how to coordinate citywide, because as we just told you, it's transportation, it's broadband, it's energy, it's water. So Lisa and I have recommended sort of having like a working group. For example, the heads of all the departments meeting on a biweekly basis and putting together like a spreadsheet of your projects and then potential grant and funding programs that can be listed there. So we've mm-hmm. helped sort of stand that up with several of our clients.
Right. And I would say everything Lori just said, and just kind of building off of that equity piece, we get asked a lot, what is the Justice 40 initiative? You'll see Justice 40 be talked about in a lot of the grant applications that are now coming forth from the administration. And it's really about delivering 40% of the overall benefits of federal climate, clean energy, affordable and sustainable housing, clean water, and other investments to the disadvantaged communities. So definitely familiarize yourself with the Justice 40 initiative, because you'll just hear that over and over again within all the notices of funding.
It's not a requirement, but definitely is a priority. If you're submitting mm-hmm. a grant that meets this metric. And EPA is really difficult for a city or a TPA to come up and sort of, how is this neighborhood disadvantaged, or is this neighborhood out of attainment for Clean Air Act? And EPA recently put together a tool that's called Environmental Justice. You can actually look at one block, or you can look at a whole neighborhood to see how you meet the metrics of this administration. And we can share that tool with Melissa and Valerie and Andrew if that's helpful.
That would be great. Yeah, thank you very much. One question I have additionally is, I think something we commonly get from municipalities or other groups is, where are we supposed to go to look for these funding opportunities? Where are we supposed to go to apply for them? How do we know where to go? So if you could, I don't know if there's a one size fits all answer for that or not, but I think that would be a good piece of information for everyone.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, so I use grants.gov. Every morning I go to grants.gov and I see what got posted, you know, from the previous day. They also update it throughout the course of the day. And so that's where we'll see, you know, everything from the administration come through. I mean, you do have to do some digging of that. Some you have to go through a lot of maybe Department of State or Department of Defense, but you'll see the notices from DOT on grants.gov. That's one of my go-to places. Also, I sound like a little bit of a geek here, but the Federal Register, right? Every morning, I look at what the Federal Register is putting out in terms of any important requests for information or rulemaking. And that also includes, they will put upcoming grant notices within the Federal Register.
And Melissa, we send you the NOFO as soon as we see it. So as you see a notice of funding opportunity you think will be helpful for this group, she can hopefully share that with everyone. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a good reminder for everyone as well, that those types of opportunities we make sure to include in our newsletter that goes out every other Tuesday. So, and we're also including some information in there too of just kind of decoding all of this, because it is a lot of information. So anytime we get helpful tidbits from you guys, we make sure to include that as well. I did want to note that in our Q&A, for the person who asked about loan opportunities, they said they've heard of a webinar that listed a few loans. They just don't have much information on them at this time.
So yes, it was a Build America Bureau. They had that a few weeks ago. Melissa, we'll send you a link to that webinar. I've noticed that you can listen to it, but they've also been putting the power deck that they use for each of these calls. So we'll see if we can find that PowerPoint as well for you.
Great. That would be wonderful. I'm not seeing any other questions come through, so we'll give people a few more minutes, but if you guys have anything else that you wanted to add just to wrap up, I think now would be a great time to do that. And I just want to say thank you guys so much for sharing this information and putting everything together. I know that this is very helpful for everyone who's in attendance, and I'm sure some other folks who were not able to make it today as well. Andrew Euler, our Deputy Director of Program Development, is on as well, and he said he does have a quick question if we have some time.
Yeah. Great, thank you. Thank you for this this presentation. It was a great overview. We have a lot of products here at the TPA where we're working with the state, and it has state gas taxes that can only be spent on state roadways. And so APTA has plenty of products that we work with them on with the resurfacings and rehabilitations of state roadways. And there's opportunities for cities and the TPA to try to add additional improvements of complete streets and resiliency and safety on these roadways. Have you seen any other states use just a state, their state funds as the local match to go after some of these competitive grants?
Yes, I've seen it, but there's a rule across DOT that you can't have more than 80% of federal funding as a local match. So that's a caveat with that.
Right, okay.
Great. Okay. I'm not seeing any other questions come through. So if you have any other closing thoughts, please feel free to share those. Otherwise, I definitely, again, just want to say thank you so much for the presentation. We greatly appreciate it. And we'll be sure to send out this recording as well as the PDF of slides to everyone who attended.
Melissa, you might want to share the updated infrastructure calendar that we received from the White House last night.
Yes.
I think that might be also of interest.
Great.
And one last closing thought is this administration, the White House, have told all the federal agencies, stand up these programs now, get out the NOFOs as quickly as possible. There's a midterm election, as you all know, in November. And so the secretaries and administrators in the White House want to do ribbon cuttings, and they're calling their infrastructure roadshow. So start planning now. If you're not ready this year, there's going to be four more years, but I encourage you to start now, putting in your project list and your priorities.
Great, I'll jump in and just thank you again so much. Thank you for everyone who joined us. We had over 40 people online and still with us right now. So thank you. I hope this was helpful. Again, we are here to help. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me, to Andrew, to Melissa, and we'll also loop in Lisa and Lori for any more specific questions. And so, and we'll post the presentation online and share with everyone who attended for more information. And we're working closely with the county as well to make sure we coordinate and with the region. So thank you again so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.